Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings. This is Luke Radowski of We Are Change the Dark. In today's mobile edition of today's live show, we are on the road, currently in Boston, just coming back from Porkfest. Joined here, these guys may tune in a little bit later. We got Matt Lepechik, OG We Are Change member, who's not even trying to look at the camera. Okay. Say hi, Matt.
Jesus is Lord.
Okay, that's Matt. We got Robbie Man here.
Yo, I love you all. How y'all doing?
Pay attention to the road. He's the driver, and we may be engaging and talking to him. This is a little impromptu show, mainly because we were supposed to have James Corbett on for this hour, talking about China and Bitcoin and all these other in-depth theoretical analysis videos that James is well known for, and going into deep research, especially when it comes to the specific topic of China. And, James is a little late, so we apologize for that, but we're still going to do this show live on the road. You may lose connection for me, Jason, because, again, we're just switching cell phone towers every time we, drive down the road here. But we are going to be live. Matt, stop looking at me like that.
James is at home practicing his robot voice.
Stop looking at me like that, Matt. We are going to be live for 1 hour. Hopefully, this will be more of an interactive show, since this is kind of an impromptu show. But of course we're going to be engaging with you guys through mainly YouTube, and of course super chats always come first, so if you have a super chat we will address it as soon as you guys send it out to us. So share this video with your friends and family members. We're still going to be live here. I don't know if you guys can see me. I got a little backlight here. Can you see me, Jason? And how are you? There you go. I got a little extra sun here at Porkfest. Get blinded by a flashlight. I don't know if that's gonna be a good thing. But yeah. My bloated face. No, it definitely hasn't. I mean, I took some days off to come up here to Porkfest. And if you guys haven't heard of Porkfest before, a lot of news outlets previously described it as a kind of Burning Man for libertarians. So there's a lot of interesting people coming together, usually this time of year, in northern New Hampshire. A lot of agorists, anarchists, libertarians, hippies. And it all comes from the Free State Project, which is a project that was started a few years ago, where people were signing up to move to New Hampshire in order to make it more of a free state and to get involved in their local government, take over the local government, and rule it through principles of nonviolence, non-aggression, and totally making it a free state. So the project is still continuing, even though it has lost some of its kind of enthusiasm within the last few years, and we've seen that with the numbers kind of dropping and fluctuating. Their original goal was to get 10,000 signatures and then get a bunch of people to move there. They're still in the process of that. They're still trying to get a lot of attention there. But overall, Porkfest was, you know, a very, very interesting event. Talked to a lot of very creative, very awesome people. And it looks like that the whole concept of the free state is turning more into the Bitcoin aspect, since Bitcoin was very heavily represented at Porkfest, and they were integrating cryptocurrencies into their entire festival. Dash, which, as we know, previously sponsored us, also sponsored Porkfest, so their logos were up everywhere. But it wasn't only their logos. They had specific kind of initiatives that they started there. They had their booth there. They had a bunch of speakers there. But they were giving out Dash, and the vendors were incentivized in taking the Dash. So they set up a mesh internet network, set up people with Dash wallets, loaded Dash wallets up with about a few Dash each. And then people were going around for the vendors, and the vendors were getting a discount just for using Dash. And a lot of people were, of course, into cryptocurrencies. Of course, there were still some gold and silver people. There was people giving out Zimbabwe dollars there. There was people giving out Venezuelan bolivars. There's a lot of entrepreneurs there. You know, of course, a lot of t-shirts, a lot of people come in and cooking their special crazy meals that they have for everyone. But it was overall a really, really very interesting conference. We had the CEO of Overstock also there, who gave a really interesting presentation about the history of progressivism. I also got an interview with Lynn Ulbricht there. She is the mother of Ross Ulbricht, who has been labeled Dread Pirate Roberts. And there's a very important Supreme Court case that happened in relation to his case that may help out his appeal. Because as we know, Ross Ulbricht, who has been fingered and alleged to be running the Silk Road, is facing a double life sentence plus years on top of that in prison during a very controversial ruling and sentencing that he went through in a very, very important court case that is set in many legal precedents within the future of the online space. And Matt, stop bothering me. Sorry, Matt LePaycheck is... we're going to have to confront Matt LePaycheck here in a little bit. He's trying to distract
well,
me.
Well, Luke, you just brought up
very unprofessional.
The Ulbricht situation. For those that don't know, I mean, he was running a website on the big, scary, dark web. And there's actually a documentary about this called Dark Web. It is directed by a guy named Alex Winter, who actually is in the Bill and Ted movies. He's Ted. He's going to be in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 3. But after he got done with acting, Luke, he got into kind of the freedom initiatives, especially in the web. And he really explains how the dark web is so misrepresented in the mainstream media. And that's why the Ulbricht case is so important, Luke.
It's very important because, again, that legal case will affect so many people moving forward as, of course, the internet expands and more people use it. But it set a very, very dangerous precedent. And the way that the trial was proceeded leaves, you know, a lot of room to worry since there was so much corruption in the case. Sorry, I took off the light because there's an article that I wanted to bring up and talk to you guys about following after this story. But overall, really happy I went to Porkfest, kind of last-minute decision, met a lot of great people, talked to a lot of people, talked to people from a lot of different cryptocurrencies, including Zencash, and they were talking about possibly sponsoring us because, you know, a lot of, you know, business stuff also went down there, but they're really, cryptocurrencies are pretty much under attack, just like alternative media, since they're viewed as alternative currencies, and very, very fascinating conversations. And we probably will be doing a lot more work with cryptocurrencies in the future, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now we're actually blessed to be sponsored by VPN Shield, which is a great way to surf the internet more privately, masking your VPN. It's kind of the gateway to this quote-unquote evil, big, bad, dark web that we're talking about, Luke. You know, you can't get on Tor and these other networks without a VPN. Now, you can use a VPN for a lot of other great things, but if you use the promo code WEAREChange, you get 20% off. It's already one of the cheapest, fastest, and easy to use. You literally download it, you run the software, you click connect to where you want to connect, Luke, and boom, your IP address is secure. We've showed you in past videos how to do that, but I want to thank
you for sponsoring. That was a very smooth transition there. I didn't even know you were doing that. Yeah, but it's Virtual Shield, and if you guys want to know more about protecting your privacy, and also if you're in Europe or you're in China and you're having problems accessing certain websites, a VPN is perfect to get around that. And if you want more information, just go to virtualshield.com/W7. And if you use the promo code WEAREChange, you get 20%. But that was, Jason, that was smooth, man. I didn't know that was coming.
I pick and choose my opportunities, my friend. And the bottom line is we've got a good product, a good sponsor, and we want to keep that good sponsor. So let them know that you heard it here at WeAreChange.org. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where we do need more privacy because we're going to go over some of these stories, but the internet is being restricted everywhere, Luke, and in a lot of places you wouldn't expect, but we'll get there later.
Yep, definitely. And there was a recent Supreme Court ruling that actually is good news, and it was a very close ruling, which I'm doing a full in-depth video on that will be out on our YouTube channel tomorrow, with also the interview with Lynn Ulbricht, which is very important and you shouldn't miss. We were actually one of the first people to ever have Lynn Ulbricht on camera. The mainstream media 4 years ago was just absolutely smearing her and lying to her. And then my good friend Danny Sessions, who's also connected to the Dash Network before Dash even existed and was even around and was even sponsoring people, Danny connected me with Lynn and said, Lynn, this guy could actually be trusted. And we were the first news organization to actually talk to Lynn Albrecht and get her full story on the situation that unfolded. So, yeah, a lot of important stuff coming up on this YouTube channel. What are you doing? Sorry, getting more distracted here by good old Matt LePajic. But moving forward, I think one of the stories that caught my eye this week was the SPLC story. And there's a story by the Washington Post. I know Breitbart picked it up. And the story reads, the Southern Poverty Law Center has lost all credibility. And this, of course, is to the latest news that we found out this week that they were sued and lost a case against an individual and had to pay out $3.3 million for defamation of character. And this Wall Street, the Washington Post article, surprisingly, actually came from them. Is very, very interesting. And I think overall it's a very good article. Again, it reads, Southern Poverty Law Center has lost all credibility. And they even started the article saying, after years of smearing good people with false charges of bigotry, the Southern Poverty Law Center has finally been held to account. A former Islamic radical named Majid Nawaz sued the center for including him in his bogus field guide to anti-Muslim extremists. And this week, the SPLC agreed to pay him $3.3 million in a settlement and also issue a public apology at the same time. Now, as you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing a lot of work with the FBI. You probably know the Southern Poverty Law Center. You've been watching our channel because they personally decided to target us and me individually and label us a right-wing racist hate group, along with the KKK and other actual racist groups. They actually had a map of all the We Are Change chapters all over the world, and they were like, this is an extremist, dangerous right-wing group. And of course, Chris Matthews of MSNBC decided to run with that, and Chris Matthews actually slandered We Are Change and mentioned, yeah, these are right-wing racist teabagging bigots. Organizations like We Are Change. And I'm like, what? So on national television, we were slandered. On the SPLC reports, we were slandered. Of course, the FBI was working in collusion with them. And I was even named, what was it, the 15th most dangerous patriot, along with people like Ron Paul and Judge Andrew Napolitano a few years ago. So the slander that the SPLC has been getting away with has been utterly insane. Because, again, we're not a right-wing organization. We had Bill O'Reilly call us jihad-loving liberals on his Fox News show when he was still on Fox. But the whole Chris Matthew things particularly bothered me. I don't know if you have that clip ready to play, but we have a confrontation with Chris Matthews. When I saw him at a presidential debate, I just walked up to him. I'm like, you slandered me. You lied about me and my news organizations on live national television. And he's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yes, you did. He kept trying to deny it until I had to pull up the video on my phone of his actual news broadcast, bring it up to his face, and literally he just ducked around, ran away, and it was definitely a very, very telling interview that he couldn't even stand up for some of the words that he was saying. But again, he used the SPLC. He hasn't been a fan of ours for various reasons. Matt LePajic actually confronted him. We confronted him a number of times on a lot of stupid, asinine comments that he made before. But Jason, do we have a little clip of that?
We do have that clip. We're about to play it, Luke. And I long for those days of the quote-unquote teabaggers. Because for those that haven't been around for that long, you've had skin in the game for almost 15 years publicly. Now, so people understand how important you were and why you were smeared by the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is because, number one, you... where We Are Change, be the change you want to see in the world, so much so that by 2006, the Obama administration basically stole your change idea and ran it as a presidential campaign. Now, the Tea Party, which is really just people that were constitutionalists, they weren't right-wingers at all, they were libertarians at best, really constitutionalists because I was no libertarian, but people behind change and Ron Paul, they stole that, they obfuscated it, they tried to say that Ron Paul was a racist, okay? And all of that seemed to go away when we had two terms of Obama. It was supposed to be forgotten history.
Yeah, and this is way before everyone was being called a racist.
That's like, right. You have to understand the context here. Cool.
Everyone is almost being called a racist now. Back then, a few years ago, that wasn't a situation at all. Very selectively was that word even used. And it was used by, you know, the SPLC very aggressively. They were one of the first kind of initiative kind of users of just using that word on anyone that they disagree with, anyone that was kind of even spread some ideas that were left of Mao Zedong.
Absolutely. So let's go to that clip. And I just want to thank Andrew McMillan and Jason Lee for a couple of Super Chat donations with no questions. Thank you guys so much. And here it is right here. You'll get to see the clip and Radowski asking Mr. Matthews about it. Oh, of course the volume's going to be super low. Of course. Well,
Here it is.
The article itself we're showing right here as you go in. But it is, I believe, the age of extremism and hatred. It comes up. Here it comes. Here's Matthews talking about Patriot Games. Patriot Games. Remember, if you're a patriot, you're a bad guy. It's the year in hate and extremism. And they're believing that the federal government's conspiring to take your guns. Is that legislation not introduced yearly? And you're not a real gun advocate, by the way.
No. I'm more of a freedom advocate. Let people do whatever they want. But I'm more of a person that just is like, I don't take a stand on this issue because we're seeing this side say this and this side say that. And you guys decide whatever is right for you. And that's been our major stance, is not even taking a stance on a lot of issues. It's just reporting on them honestly and giving both sides of the story. Now, this is a very interesting story with this lawsuit that happened, because right now people are lining up to sue the SPLC. And this is something that, of course, we're going to be looking into ourselves for being slandered by them for so many years now. I remember the SPLC personally reached out to me and gave me a phone call. And they're like, okay, we'll hear you out. And I'm like, yep, we're doing this charity event. We're doing that charity event. We have a big code of conduct that says no racism, no hatred, no bigotry, no sexism, nothing, filled with any type of hate is allowed or to be even represented with our loosely affiliated organization. What was really interesting is that when the SPLC released their report, they had more We Are Change chapters listed. They were able to find more of them than we were able to even keep track of. Because if you remember, We Are Change, when we first started out, this organization was just about an idea. It wasn't about having an official organization and doing things this way and this way. It was like, if you believe in being the change that you want to see in this world and you want to do things non-violently, without any hate, and to do some activism and to give out flyers and DVDs and to confront some politicians and hold them accountable for what they promised and then they lied to you about, like all politicians do. If you want to be a part of that, don't wait for orders from Central Command. Just go out there and do it. And people started doing it all over the world. And the SPLC listed, I believe, 260? I think around that number. I don't know the exact number to be honest with you. But around 200 chapters of people who just started using the name We Are Change in their activism. And we saw that activism demonstrated in Japan, in South Africa, in Australia, in Asia, in Europe, all over the entire world. People just decided to roll with it. And they just said, you know what? Clear out. Everyone is just a racist, right-wing, dangerous hate group. Matt, what are you doing over there? Look what I have to deal with. I have gained 60 pounds in 6 months, overeating.com. See, this is what Matt's doing. Matt is playing, can you guys even see that?
Well, we can see it, Luke.
Lift the phone. Yeah, this is what he's doing. He's sending me messages through his little phone thing. No, leave me alone, man. I'm trying to do my
show. I'll be honest, Luke, I haven't seen LePasic in years, but it doesn't look like 60. It looks a little more. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to tell him that.
We'll get to it later.
So he won't hear that.
Luke, you know what?
But what was interesting, but one thing I just wanted to finish on this particular topic is that the SPLC specifically called me up, and I made sure to record the conversation to have an account, kind of more accountability behind it. What they did is they started stringing along different sentences together. There was one speech that I gave in Pennsylvania where I said that there's a revolution coming and it will change everything. They took that quote with another speech I did saying, I forgot what the exact context of it, but they put it together to make me sound like I was saying something violent. But the whole speech was about doing things peacefully with video cameras, and how video cameras are more powerful than guns these days, and how this needs to be a nonviolent, communicative kind of movement that works together and tries to understand each other and tries to stop this divide and conquer happening. But they put together two random sentences of that speech, and they decided to try to make me look violent, and they did effectively, because they said Radowski said this, there will be a revolution and it will get ugly and something like that. I forgot the exact context of it, and I'm like, those slanderous little bastards, like, they're full of deceit. And the very interesting the case about this guy, the one who actually won the lawsuit against them, Majid Nawaz, he was a former radical Islamist. He reformed his life, he changed his life, and he decided to no longer be a radical Islamist and to teach people nonviolent teachings of Islam. He's actually even quoted as saying Islam is a religion of peace, whether you believe that or not. This is what this gentleman was saying, and the SPLC decided to label him as a right-wing racist against Muslims when he's a Muslim trying to stop the radicalization of other Muslims and still believing fully in his faith, of course. So this is a very interesting case. I'm going to work on doing an interview with this guy. I'm going to be going, I think, to London this Tuesday. He is in London. I'm connected with his friend. They're working on setting up an interview, but he would be someone that would be fascinating to talk to, not only because of the SPLC lawsuit that he successfully won, but most importantly, all the work that he's doing right now to stop the radicalization of Islam in the United Kingdom. So wish me luck on that one.
I am wishing you luck. And for those that want to see the full confrontation with Luke and Chris Matthews, we actually made a conscious decision that we're going to start reposting a lot of these great confrontations over the years, because so much of this audience really doesn't even know that happened, Luke.
I mean, we have some confrontations now. We confronted a whole bunch of people. I actually even have more confrontations that I didn't even have time to edit. I have about 15 other confrontations I have just from this last Bilderberg. I have another confrontation with Henry Kissinger that I haven't released in like 2 years now, just because I'm busy and running around and all over the place. But I'm going to try to look for that Kissinger confrontation video, which would mark our fifth confrontation with Henry Kissinger himself. We have a whole bunch of confrontations with Bilderbergers. I'm just going to put a compilation of them and release them later this week on this channel as well. But we're not that focused on confrontations as much as we were before, mainly because it is extremely difficult now with all of our confrontations that we did before to keep doing them, because security has not only upgraded in such extensive ways to prevent them from happening, but we're also on major blacklist from even entering events, or as soon as we do, security guards are all around us and they know what we're going to do. So we haven't been seeing many confrontations. They take a lot of time, a lot of investment. There's nothing stopping me from actually getting them, but the level of difficulty and the level of work that needs to be done now to go through all the hoops and circles that they make you go through, because I've been banned from certain venues. There's one venue that told me specifically not to come to this Henry Kissinger event. I still figured out a way to get in there and confront Henry Kissinger one-on-one, but you have to use aliases and fake names and decoys and distractions. It's a whole bunch of work that's very, very difficult to pull off, and it's a huge investment of time, and they're making it almost virtually impossible for us to do. But I like that idea of posting some of the older confrontations that we had with so many figures throughout the years that, you guys need to see them.
Absolutely. And, before we move on to the next subject, because there's so much, I mean, we've went over one story right now, so much going on in the globe, I want to thank Happy Zorro. He says, stay groovy and keep fighting. That's a $20 Snapchat. We really appreciate that. And
Snapchat. Or Super Chat.
Super Chat. Sorry. I don't know what the kids are talking about these days. I don't have the Snapchat. And then we got another one by Josiah Magnuson, and he said he just got here. Did you guys talk about China testing those powerful naval railgun in the world that can go 120 miles in 90 seconds? Now, we're going to get to China a little bit later. That was going to be the main focus of this broadcast with James Corbett.
I'm going to send James Corbett another angry Skype.
Well, no anger. I love the Corbett Report. But we did go over last week, actually, the naval war games that China was going in that had a lot to do with this brand new technology. Of course, it was, you know, off of their coast. They had every right to do so. But China is becoming more and more of a superpower, something we're going to go over later in this broadcast. But I want to go over this because this is breaking global news, especially in light of what's going on in Turkey, in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, and how they're really all interconnected. Just yesterday, there was a big hoopla about a major media blackout of a huge rally for Erdogan, who is the incumbent prime minister of Turkey, and it was blacked out by the media. Now, today, just hours ago, Erdogan has declared himself the winner and now is the winner of this election. And the reason that we're keeping an eye on this is because most people, Luke, don't even really realize that we are heavily involved with Turkey militarily in this Yemen situation. The largest humanitarian crisis in the world right now. Could you just speak to that really quickly?
Well, the relationships between the United States and Turkey is very troublesome since Turkey decided to buy S-300 missile defense systems from Russia. And now the United States is banning Turkey from buying some of their military equipment. And as we know, Turkey is a NATO state, but there's a direct conflict between the United States and Turkey, especially when it comes to what's been happening in Syria. And Turkey is like the middle ground. They are a part of NATO, but they're kind of playing back and forth between them and the Russians, mainly because... Matt, stop distracting me!
NATO state playing both sides of the field.
Mainly because the United States has aligned themselves with the Kurds, and the Kurds and the Turks have been in conflict with each other for a number of years now, and Turkey has decided to invade Syria, and it almost came head-to-head between Turkish forces and U.S.-backed forces that were directly on in the same field as the Kurds that they were fighting against in that very turbulent region. So tensions between the United States and Turkey have been pretty high and are only expected to go up since Turkey is not going to waver, especially with their bigger conflict and bigger war against the Kurds that they want to eliminate out of their country and they want to eliminate around their border as well, with the U.S. saying and backing down and leaving their military troops all around the Kurds, leaving the Turks in a very hard position, not being able to attack them.
Absolutely. And you know, people don't understand how crazy the Middle East is. You know, we have problems in this country and our prison system, our military system. But when I see a story like this one, Luke, okay? Prisoners' drawings show how inmates were sodomized, had rocks tied to their testicles, and suffered electric shocks to their genitals as part of systematic abuse at UAE-run prisons in Yemen. That's the United Arab Emirates. And you look at this horrific stuff. These are drawings of dogs being sicked on them, of being held up by their arms, legs bound, being electrocuted in showers, being built, beaten, having their heads thrown against oil drums. It's pretty appalling. And it would be even more appalling, I guess, Luke, if we didn't know that these were going on at black sites like Gitmo and others by our nation. But the bottom line is this is much more out in the open, and it's something that we have to speak out against because in a lot of places, this is the norm.
Yeah, and their only reason that they're doing it is with impunity is because no one's talking about these issues. They're not highlighting these issues. The mainstream media is specifically ignoring the atrocities that are happening in Yemen because it doesn't play with their bigger geopolitical playbook that they're going after with the U.S. military industrial complex. The U.S. is directly involved in Yemen. There's even U.S. forces in Yemen right now. And the atrocities happening right there are the worst the world is seeing and facing right now. If the mainstream media really cared about children, if they really cared and had a heart about any issue, it would, of course, would be Yemen. But they don't talk about it because, again, the United States and their alliance with Saudi Arabia is dependent on their butcherous war crimes that they commit in that very specific area.
Absolutely, Luke. And you know, again, we're going to keep our eye on that area because most people don't even know that there is a conflict there. But we're going to move on from the Middle East into Europe, my friend, into a story you broke. Okay, you were the first person out there in the alternative media to talk about Article 11 and Article 13, which essentially bans free speech on the internet. Luke, you did a great interview with Mance Rayder, the professional memer, and the man who stole a Game of Thrones character as his handle. Now, what people don't understand about this... It's not a bad handle.
Now, I don't know if we broke the story. I saw the story being reported before, so I don't think we broke it, but maybe in the...
In the alternative media, absolutely. You were the first person to look at it as a negative. And I saw, you know, the bigger alternative media outlets jump on it days later. But the bottom line is, this is now passed and only has one more round before it becomes the law of the land, and it will essentially make just about everything illegal, including this broadcast that cites articles to discuss the news.
Yeah, and they're going to want permission for even sharing news snippets. So if you're in Europe and you want to share a news article, you won't be able to do that anymore. If you're a website and you want to have a little snippet of saying, oh, the title here and the, you know, the byline here, you won't be able to even do that. And of course, it's going to be used very selectively. It's going to be used against people who are against the big bureaucracy, against the big state, against the big corporate interests that are very well represented within the European Union. And it's sickening that this passed this stage, and we can only hope it won't pass any further. But again, what they're going to do already, a lot of news organizations have stopped operating within the European Union because of the government regulations that they have there. I remember being in Europe and I went on, New York Daily News. No, sorry, we don't operate in Europe because of the tough laws and regulations in that country. So they're becoming very restrictive. The bureaucracy is huge, bloated, stinky, and smelly in Europe, and it's only going to get worse with this Article 11 passing and interfering with predominantly a lot of people who go against the government there and the interests that are usually represented. So definitely not a good thing, to say the least. But when I was in Europe and I couldn't see certain articles, all I had to do was get on my VPN, and then bam, I was able to see the articles in just two clicks. Which shows you the advantages of using VPNs, and there's a lot of different ones that you could use out there. Definitely recommend it, not just the ones that sponsor us, but even if you don't support our sponsor, get a VPN, get a different one. There's, you know, different price ranges and different features that you could get from that specific service. But it's going to be a must, especially if Article 11 passes.
Absolutely, Luke. And what we don't want to see is what we already have in places like China. Now, we've gone over the social credit score, but I thought that this was a really interesting story. China's Twitter erases John Oliver after scathing Xi Jinping skit, in other words, their prime minister. So he reports a little bit of the truth about China in a comedic manner, banned.
I don't agree with Oliver. No, I don't agree with Oliver on so many things, but I actually saw that, and it was, he always does very highly produced stuff because he has a week to do just one specific show. He actually did a very fair job on it, and even though some other stuff he did was just pure propaganda, this was almost right on the money, and I really, really did enjoy that piece, especially the Winnie the Pooh reference that they made in there, and it's not a surprise to me from seeing that report that he's now banned in China. And even being seen by the people from the report that he did.
Yeah, and what really bothers me is, like, so many people were quick to attack on social media just for me posting this story. John Oliver is fake news. John Oliver is the bad guy. How could you post anything? Well, the point is, if somebody who's basically an establishment mouthpiece that we don't agree with most of the time can be censored by another nation. What does that say about where we're going to be, Luke? Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to protect everybody, and I don't think he has the most abhorrent speech. I think that sometimes he is correct. However, you got to hold his feet to the fire when he's not. The bottom line is censoring speech is never the answer, and we need to push back on China because it's becoming more and more powerful militarily, economically, and globally in general.
Yeah, China's going to be a big topic for us. We're going to try to get James on later to do a full in-depth research. But really, China's taking over. It's becoming the next superpower. It's going to be the next dominant power in the world right now. And anytime you have a new power emerging, threatening the original power, there always historically is a war that could happen. But more and more and more that China is being economically involved in the world, the less and less we are hearing about human rights violations that are becoming more and more common inside of China. And of course, there's a lot of economic interests that prevent a lot of these issues from coming out. And it's absolutely scary what's happening in China right now, especially with the social credit score that they use against their citizens there. That is absolutely terrifying.
Absolutely, Luke. And you know, when we talk about free speech and the protection of the Fourth Estate, the media, I think that this is yet another important story. You know, again, in China, they just get rid of Oliver. But as we know, there are problems in Europe. And this is just a crazy story to me. The Daily Mail is being sued over a story they ran about the Pussycat Dolls. You know, that awesome girl band that just did so much great artistic music in our generation,
that
Luke.
Stole my video and used my... Wait, was that the... No, was that's that, what...
No, you're thinking about... I know what you're thinking about.
The Russians.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they called again?
The ones that wear the masks and everybody says yeah, that they're... Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Oh,
they're the Pussy
Riot.
Something others. Yes.
P. Riot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Pussy
yeah.
Riot.
Yes, that's right. So the Pussycat Dolls, one of their former members goes to a journalist. Her name is Kaya Jones. She makes the claim, Luke, that the band is actually a prostitution ring where the girls are being sold to music executives for sexual favors. The Daily Mail then reports this story. Seems like a legitimate story to report, but now if they lose this lawsuit, can you even quote a source anymore? This could be yet another huge blow to free speech, because all they're doing again is quoting a former member of the band.
Yeah, I mean, that's important without any assertions and claims. I haven't actually read that specific article, but if they just source the claim, I think they should be, you know, good legally, as long as they didn't follow through with it by saying this is the absolute truth or make more assertions with it. But there's a lot of bad journalism out there. It's important to keep bad journalism out there. Bad journalism accountable to all the crap that they do, you know. And I think overall, the court is most likely, if you describe the story as it happened, definitely going to rule against them. Because again, you have every right to say, as a reporter, this person said this. So we'll see how that goes, but we're going to follow that story closely and follow through on that as well.
Absolutely, and that's a real important one to me, because again, if you can no longer be protected by actually naming your source, well, what about unknown sources? We know there are plenty of fake news outlets, Luke, that love to go with unknown sources and really not have a source to begin with. Where are all the lawsuits there? Where are those lawsuits? Okay, I guess you're seeing them somewhere, sometimes in the alternative media, but the mainstream gets away with it so much. And the bottom line is, hey, you should be able to protect your sources, but I think it's a far stretch for you to be sued after you named those sources. All right, I want to move on to economic news. We got some economic news that's kind of big and kind of not being reported in this country at all, Luke. The de-dollarization escalates. Russia sells off record amounts of U.S. Treasury bonds. So while the China trade war looms in the background and all the propaganda at home of Russiagate and meddling in elections continues in this country, they're refusing to talk about the economic repercussions of Russia selling 47 billion plus out of $96 billion in treasury bonds they had. I'm not seeing it on CNBC. I'm not seeing it on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. Why not?
Well, of course, the news about the petrodollar is very sparse to even hear from the mainstream because it's a concept that they don't want people knowing about. They don't want people knowing that the price of their dollar is widely dependent on the use of the dollar all around the world, especially specifically around the trade of oil. And it's an issue that's becoming more and more apparent that it's not if but when the U.S. petrodollar will be the not dominant currency in the world. We're seeing a lot of strong economic moves in response to, of course, U.S. foreign policy moves that are angering a lot of the world out there. And that's why we're seeing a lot of countries like China, Pakistan, India, Brazil, Russia, the kind of BRICS nation, kind of come together and realign their trading, realign their partnerships. And with the way that the U.S. is going, I mean, the North Korea stuff was a good thing to see, but what is still developing in Syria and how the U.S. is involved in Syria is pushing a lot of people away. The Russians want to do business with the United States. They have very strong sanctions against them by the United States, and this is why we're seeing them economically retaliate. And the best way to do that is to hit the petrodollar. So expect a lot more of that to happen. And when that does happen, expect the purchasing power of your dollar to go down significantly.
And it already has gone down so much, which is why.
You go to the supermarket and it's like, imagine what $20 bought you just a few years ago. Now you go back in there, it's like, what the hell's going on here?
Dude, I can't get 3 days of groceries for me and the kids for under $40. I mean, that's just a fact. And that's not three meals a day. You know what I'm saying? I usually feed them twice a day. I eat once a day, maybe twice a day. Not that I'm starving by any means, but I'm just pointing out that, you know, you used to be able to feed your family for a week on $100, $150, three meals a day, 7 days a week. That's imagination land. You've got a family of three or four. Oh, man, it's at least $300.
Yeah, and with the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar going down every single year, we are being economically looted and robbed, especially by the banksters, especially by the social engineers, because if you look around, it's more and more difficult for people to make ends meet. And it's done like that for design, because it specifically helps out the big banks. And, we're just getting screwed over, pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, so a lot of people, especially in the libertarian community, the anarchist community, and the now crypto community, have moved in to cryptocurrencies. And the big story over the last few weeks is that Bitcoin has taken quite a hit. And there's a new Forbes piece out there where they're saying Bitcoin is struggling because Bitcoin has lost its way. Now, this is a really short piece, but it's very evident to me that it's really trying to promote the idea of getting out of cryptocurrencies and marginalizing their power, and that's a problem.
Well, the whole talk that I'm hearing in the kind of Bitcoin cryptocurrency community is that there's a coordinated attack by a lot of the insider, a lot of the big bankers, to purposefully make Bitcoin go down in order to give the people who want controlling interest of it the opportunity to buy as much of it as they can. And we've been seeing a lot of fake news around cryptocurrency, a lot of fear-mongering about cryptocurrencies, a lot of false news, a lot of just really bad reporting around just the general topic of it. And this is a point I made to the Dash community. I was doing a live stream with some of the kind of bigger figures behind the Dash cryptocurrency, and I said, you guys, we need each other more than ever. You need real alternative media. You need the Max Kaisers, the Jeff Berwicks, the people on YouTube who are talking about cryptocurrencies in an honest way more than ever, because just like yourselves, we are being attacked equally, and they are going after all of us. And if one of us falls, the likelihood of the other one falling is even higher. And, you know, we need more fair reporting on that. Obviously, the crypto space is a very, very turbulent space. It has always been a turbulent space. But I think this year, more than ever, we have seen a lot of coordinated attacks not only hacks on big institutions, but we've seen a lot of coordinated attacks that have kept the price where it is right now. I'm hearing from other people that the price may even go lower to about $5,000 per Bitcoin, and then from there it's going to go up. But again, this whole thing is extremely unpredictable, and there are a lot of people with a lot of interest who are putting their hands and their paws right on Bitcoin just as we're speaking right now. It was supposed to be kind of a decentralized cryptocurrencies, but with the miners and the people who create them predominantly through big computing power, they are centralized in some way. And of course, there's other cryptocurrencies out there that are run differently, but Bitcoin is the main one that everyone keeps focusing on. And if Bitcoin does bad, you could expect all the other cryptocurrencies to do bad as well, because they don't have that same kind of brand name recognition. So definitely a wild space, and definitely a space where the good people in the cryptocurrency community need to get in touch with alternative media to more cohesively work together as alternatives, not only to media, but also to finance moving forward in this life.
Absolutely, Luke. And, you know, although it is extremely volatile, a lot of people should understand that through even our small Dash sponsorship that only lasted a month, we were able to get some of the gear that was able to broadcast this more smoothly to you guys. You see, they'll never tell you that Newegg.com and Overstock.com take Bitcoin. You know, there's plenty of retailers out there that do take cryptocurrencies, and the power of those cryptocurrencies are currently helping to bring you this broadcast. So I think people really need to realize that that's just one small thing that it's used
to power
people.
Yeah, you could even buy airplane tickets with cryptocurrencies. You could buy anything, especially through third parties, with cryptocurrencies. So there's a lot of opportunities, and it definitely helped us out. I mean, you wouldn't believe the technical difficulties we were having on this show before that Dash sponsorship. I was just like pulling the little hair that I have left in my head out.
We're way smoother.
And now we're doing a lot better, even though we're streaming live from a car coming back from Dorkfest. The stream and everything else has been a lot better. And of course, we have more goals. We want to do so many more things. I think working more cohesively with the crypto space is going to be where we go. I'm interested in what people think. Where do you think we should go? Should we go through private sponsorship? Should we go through just donations? Should we just go through proposals with the cryptocurrency space? What do you guys think is the right path for us? Because we've been kind of testing out and playing around with everything. We need to, mainly because YouTube is making it more and more difficult for us even to exist. And I can't tell you how many messages I get, how many comments I get with people just saying, dude, I never get your stuff anymore. I click the bell button, I click subscribe, I click get notifications, and I get absolutely nothing. Our numbers have been, you know, dismal. Our numbers have been absolutely horrible, especially, you know, when we're doing more work than ever, busting our humps. And it's just a really sad state of affairs that we cannot let defeat us. And the only way to do that is to think of other means and ways to survive economically through the storm and keep pushing at our work and our job, which we have been doing. And of course, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
That's right, Luke. And before we go from digital currency to, you know, digital security in the police state, I just want to remind everybody that, you know, there is no foreseeing the future other than cryptos aren't going anywhere for some time. That doesn't mean that Bitcoin ends up on top, or Bitcoin Cash does, or Dash does, or Ethereum, or Litecoin. We're really in the very first throes of a movement that could last, Luke, another 10, 20, 30 years, or even be the future of our children's economy.
Exactly. People need to understand, when the internet first came out, everyone was saying, this is going to, you know, take over online, business. This is going to take over retail. This is going to take over all factors of our life. And then we had the kind of internet bubble that popped in 2000. And then when that bubble popped, everyone was like, no, there's no way that the internet's going to take over. There's no way that online business is going to thwart and take over, regular business. And now it actually has. So I think we're in that phase right now where, you know, Bitcoin is going down. I think it's going to go down just a little bit more, just on my own personal perspective, and that we're hearing this talk. But 5-10 years down the line, I think it's inevitable not to be using blockchain and the technological advancements that come with cryptocurrencies in our way of life.
Absolutely, Luke. And now moving on.
Wait, are we almost at an hour, Jason?
We are still 10 minutes till an hour.
Okay, so let's end at an hour because I'm running on the iPhone 10, which is, it has a good camera, but it's an irresponsibly stupid device that got rid of the headphone jack, and I can't charge at the same time as I'm doing live video appearances, and my battery is extremely low. So I'm going to need to get off, Jason, in 10 minutes because this phone's about to die anyway because of the ingenious butt munches at the iPhone Corporation that made this, this thing impossible to continue.
It's time for Bluetooth set, my friend. Bluetooth headphones. All right, so then let's fly right through these next two stories and then the Trump stories of the week, because we haven't even mentioned the Trumpster in almost an hour.
Are there any chats or super chats?
There's no super chats right now. A couple of the comments, people were saying, oh, you can't buy a prostitute with Bitcoin, but I would say that there are plenty of madams out there that take the Bitcoin.
Yeah, there's a couple places.
I was
going to
say Dennis Hoff. Yeah, Dennis Hoff probably over in Nevada, even though he just won that he's going for governor, I think, I believe.
Yeah,
the
he's
state.
The brothel owner who's running for politics now that actually had a successful primary in Nevada recently.
Yes, absolutely. So we have this story where face scans are now going to be required at the Orlando airport for international travelers. The reason that this is important is this is not going to be just for international travelers. They're rolling it out. They're going to be using that facial recognition technology for everybody, just like China does on the streets with its own citizens. So as they build the police state here at home, they also seem to be pushing for your guns, and that's why I thought it was interesting to see Parkland spokesperson David Hogg out there in New York City spotted with armed guards. Oh, but David, I thought you didn't like guns. And here he is, we're showing the picture now, in New York City with his trendy little earpiece and his trendy little jacket and his trendy little pants and his armed guards with trendy little guns. But he shouldn't need those guns, should he, Luke? We live in a happy, fun, safe zone. Only bad people.
We definitely don't. Definitely a lot of hypocrisy on that. It's a very similar story to where Michael Moore was caught. His security guard was caught with traveling with guns and was arrested for them. I actually talked to Michael Moore about that, and there was more to the story than we were actually told. But, you know, obviously a lot of anti-gun advocates have a lot of private security with a lot of guns, because that's the reality of this world. We always want to make sure that good people could protect themselves, and if you ban guns, usually the guns end up in bad people's hands, and the good people can defend themselves, just like I saw in Venezuela. There are exceptions to the rule. Certain people point to the case studies of Australia and in London and in other countries, but I think there's a lot to do with culture. The debate here is definitely skewed. There's a lot of emotional things, but I think people should be free and should have the right to defend themselves independently, and that's an issue that I do believe in. Let's move through the stories and then say bye.
We're going to bump right through them
right
now.
I don't know if Robbie or Matt want to say something.
We got another super chat, another good one, just a $20 super chat from Jesse Schmidt. Thank you so much, Jesse. So let me fire through. Trump signed, his executive order to end the separations. This was on the heels of Peter Fonda making a comment about ripping Barron Trump's from Melania's arms, throwing him in a cage with pedophiles, which landed a Secret Service call. Time then had to apologize for the cover story that they were supposed to put out next week. They already put the cover out, but it's supposed to run on the June 3rd. I don't know if it's still going, July 3rd issue. I'm not sure it's going to. But the kid they had looking at Trump was never separated from her mother. She was actually kidnapped by her mother from her father and brought up to the border, where he confirmed they were never separated. And that's the news they want to tell you. They won't tell you that earlier in the week, we had a protester get right in the distance of Trump's eyesight and hold up a picture of him and Jeffrey Epstein. The media doesn't want to touch that one, Luke. If you want to see that full video that was censored the next day, you can go to the We Are Change Facebook page. But what do you think about all those stories with Trump?
He brought up a lot of different stories there, a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of divide and conquer, a lot of hooey and bull crap. We're at a rest stop, finally. I'm going to get out there. Oh, yeah. They're stuck in a car here. Hold on. Give me a minute here. It's like the Blair Witch Project right now. Okay. All right. I got you guys. Can you hear me still?
Yeah. Oh, no. You're gravy.
Jason?
Yeah. I hear you.
Speakers off. Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We hear you just fine, Luke. Keep going, my friend.
Yeah. All right. On the road here. You know, job never stops. Robbie, how are you, brother? This is my friend Robbie.
How's everyone
doing
out there?
Drivers.
Just making sure Luke gets there safe. I want to say hi to everyone. How's everyone doing? Spread love, positivity, create your own reality. Don't worry. Think about all the positives and everything. Never worry. Never think about negative things. Because it's going to keep perpetuating your life. If that happens, if you want to come laugh with me, you can come to my Instagram, Robbie Mann, RobbieMann. And, I just like to give people awkward looks and feel awkward and act kind of crazy, and then just do a little dance for you guys though.
Okay, that's Robbie, my hippie Burning Ooh. Man friend, if you couldn't tell. Could you guys and here is my Christian friend. Matt, do you want to say anything? This is Matt Lepejczyk, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I don't really care about politics anymore. I used to, but do you know what's going to happen when you die? You know, that's why This whole world is distracting us, and in the conspiracy culture, we've really got caught up in investigating like new ageism and meditation.
Come on, man. This is not a 5-hour show, Matt.
So yeah, I always like to talk about how
give us your preach.
The Lord Jesus Christ is actually real, and if you make the time to read the Bible and actually meditate on the Word and try to have a supernatural relationship with Him, you can see for yourself that He's very real. And yeah, so that's it. That's all I ever have to say anymore, because Jesus Christ is awesome. He's a powerful force that's alive and living today. And if we don't make time to turn off certain YouTube videos, not this one, but if we don't make time to actually dedicate ourselves to seeking God, then it's never going to happen, because there's weapons of mass distraction, which are constantly keeping us bombarded by all these alternative information.
All right, thank you, Matt. That's Matt Lepejczyk. So, as you can see, I hang out with a very diverse group of people: hippies, Christians, anarchists, communists, libertarians. There's a whole bunch of different people that I hang out with. That's all I can say about it. As we're here on the road, I love different viewpoints. I love the diversity of everyone's personalities and everyone's different perspective. I hope that went through. Jason, can you still hear us?
Yeah, absolutely, Luke. And I just want to go to this next super chat really quick, and there's some other comments out there.
I bet there's a bunch of other comments.
Oh, there is. Well, this, you're going to like this one. Michael Holiday is claiming that Jason Burmis wears fake eyebrows. So we got a nice shot of my face right here. Right there, I'm going to admit I'm a hairy guy. You absolutely will see me shave the middle of a section between my eyebrows 2 to 3 times a week. They are not fake, so if you're looking for some vintage Jason Burmis eyebrow hair, we can make that happen for you. Thank you so much for the super chat. Luke, we've only got a couple more stories, and we're almost at the hour. I definitely think we got
to go.
Cover
it's them. Raining here.
All right, I know exactly. Better. So we got two. They're two important ones. Number one.
I can just sign off, and you can just continue the show.
Okay, you got it, man. Hey, Luke,
so
we
I'm
love you.
I'm signing off. Stay tuned. We're going to have a confrontation. We're going to have a very important interview. I'm going to London Tuesday. Hit me up on my Twitter, twitter.com/LukeWeAreChange. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Matt and Robbie, for being on this road trip with me and driving, and all you amazing people that I met at Porkfest, and all the amazing people I'm going to meet very soon. And thank you for everything, and thank you for being a part of this news channel.
And Luke was scapegoating me. I wasn't really doing anything bad.
Yes, you were.
I was completely respectful, and I wasn't doing anything bad.
He's distracting me a lot. What was the little time code thing you were playing? Doesn't matter.
I was just looking at you.
Thank you guys for watching. Jason, take it from here.
You got it. We love Matt Lepejczyk, and we love Luke Radowski. Don't you worry. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's get back to the news right here. So, Michael Cohen, he gets taken in a picture with Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold claims he's got the tapes. And for those that aren't following this, this is something that I followed for a long time. There's actually a lot of chatter out there that there are quote-unquote fake Trump sex tapes out there, a lot of them. This was a report from 6 or 7 months ago. Now, I found this really weird that they would put this report out, but I found it more odd months later. Vice commissions Tom Arnold to find the dirt on Trump, specifically the P tapes. Okay, so you have Michael Cohen, who supposedly, according to Tom Arnold, and I think he's full of SH, I know what you're thinking, but he says he's got the tapes. He shared the tapes with me. I've seen the tapes. Well, Cohen's denying he discussed anything with Tom Arnold, and it was a chance encounter. I guess we'll find out who the liar is in the coming weeks and months, but don't expect Vice to crack some imagination land story about the dossier and Trump being peed on. Who knows? Maybe he likes it. I doubt it. I feel like if they had any evidence of that, they would have rolled it out. It sounded like more like a smear tactic to me. But I wanted to move on very, very quickly to the fact that the White's Civil Rights Rally has been approved for D.C. and in August. And I really hope that we're going to be covering this on the ground, not only with Luke Radowski, but with myself, because, you know, I really feel like some of the most abhorrent and terrible people are going to be there. I am certainly no white nationalist. I'm not a bigot of any sort. I don't think there should be any kind of racial supremacism or religious supremacism. You know, judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And the real question is, how similar to Charlottesville will this be? How crazy will this get? And in D.C., I can't see it not getting 100 or 1,000 times crazier. So, you know, boots on the ground in August, if this quote-unquote white civil rights rally actually takes place, you can bet that we are going to be the first people on the ground to talk to some of these people and get their viewpoints. But again, we're not going to scream at them or spit at them or try to cause violence or call somebody a snowflake or a cuck or a libtard. None of that. It's not happening. That's not how I roll, okay? You know, it ain't Kekistan for me. None of that. I'm going to try to relate with people. I'm going to really hear their viewpoints. And then when I don't agree, I'm going to try to make a coherent, intelligent counterargument. And I feel like that's the way to go. That's how you reach people. That's how you have your voice heard. So that is extremely important. I hope to see some of you guys out there who are watching right now, you know, and not in support of any kind of white supremacy, but in support of reason and sanity and coming together with one another despite our racial heritage possibly being different. Whether or not that happens, who knows? But again, We Are Change is going to bring it to you. So folks, one final story before we wrap this up, and it's a big one. Monsanto finally facing their first trial over allegations that Roundup indeed caused cancer. And actually, we're going to have one more story after this, China-related, going with that headline. But here it is, finally. Now, Monsanto's not Monsanto anymore. That's right, you heard me. Monsanto's not Monsanto anymore. They have merged with Bayer just last week in a $66 billion merger. And they're going to take Bayer's name because apparently, in the public's eyes, because so many people have taken Bayer aspirin, they have a better reputation than Monsanto. But the fact of the matter is that Bayer was caught in the late 80s and early 90s with a medication called Factor VIII that had live HIV virus in it. They gave it to hemophiliacs. Remember Arthur Ashe, the famous tennis player? He was a hemophiliac. He somehow contracted the HIV virus. Ryan White was the kid that they rolled out to my generation to try to not frighten us about the HIV and AIDS epidemic. And he went to school until he died. He was a hemophiliac. Chances are they contracted that not through a blood transfusion, as was claimed, but more than likely through Factor VIII. Now, they lost lawsuits. They were caught. You'd think they would have destroyed the medication. Nope, they decided, hey, we'll just take this tainted supply and ship it out to Japan and Europe. You can't make that stuff up. And You know, I've gone to the clip before, but there's an old MSNBC clip on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, before he had his current wife as his sidekick, if you will, his co-anchor. And go watch it for yourself. Don't take Jason Burmese's word for it. It's not Wikipedia, for God's sake. I mean, there's no denying Bayer and Factory. And now Bayer and Monsanto together again for the very first time as one super group, if you will. I hope they lose it all to this guy. And the, you know, countless others that have contracted cancer from Roundup, it seems. I mean, they're going to try to prove it in the court of law. We'll see where it goes. All right, on to the actual final story, unless you want a super chat in there, guys. You get a super chat in there, you know I'm going to answer it. But this is the big deal. China, as Luke told you, is the new superpower, and that's why they are unleashing their banks right now in light of this trade war situation. What does that mean? So when it says it's unleashing $108 billion in reserve cut for some banks, that means that many of the banks that they mainly do business with will now have to hold even less of the actual money, that they'd have to give back. So there's a certain percentage, but now that's being lowered to not 10% of what they've lent out, not 5% of what they lent out, not even 1% of what they have lent out. Now they're cutting it to 0.5% in many cases. What does this mean? Well, this is going to cause inflation in that country. And it's the same type of fiat scheme which will eventually devalue their currency, you know, after it hits a global peak. But in these trade wars, you got to wonder who's going to come out top, because the dollar has not performed very well in the last 30 to 40 years on average. In fact, again, me and Luke discussed it earlier. Our nation is in decline. There are so many of us out there that could not afford a $1,000 emergency. Forget about a $2,000 emergency. Forget about having a savings account. How about not being indebted to the government or not on one of their social welfare programs, whether that be Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, WIC. It's not even food stamps anymore. It's an EBT card. There are just so many programs out there that working class families are now forced into because our dollar has been eviscerated. Folks, we do the Sunday live broadcast every single week. In fact, tomorrow it's going to be available on iTunes in podcast format. Thank you, Jesse Schmidt. Back to Crypto, Ripple, or Tron. Thoughts? I couldn't tell you which one's going to perform better in the long run, but like Luke was talking about earlier, Bitcoin has a name. I would say that Ripple has more of a name than Tron right now, as Tron is really associated with the science fiction movies. Back to that iTunes again. Thank you, Jesse. We can't do it without you. We appreciate those super chats. But yes, iTunes, we're going to have the weekly podcast. So if you missed any of this broadcast, you just tuned in, you want to listen to it on the road, you want to listen to it in MP3 format, please like, share, and let people know not only about this, but about the iTunes broadcast. We've also got a Teespring store up. If you go to any of our YouTube videos, the Teespring store is now embedded in there, so you can choose from all sorts of great t-shirts that help support this operation. And really, folks, if you can't support us financially, that's fine. I'm not asking for money. What I would like you to do is spread these videos. Please share, like, subscribe, get the notifications. And if all else fails, remember the information and share it with others. Take the base information, you know, the base articles we're putting out there, share those, because it's only through mass amounts of information and discernment regarding that information that I believe that we're going to get anywhere and actually be the change that we want to see in the world. So on that note, folks, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week. I am Jason Burmese for WeAreChange.com.